interest rates continue to rise, and that's causing the housing market to cool off from the intense demand it saw for much of the pandemic. Now, some economists say we're in a housing recession, but is that really going to make a difference for people looking to buy, sell, or rent here in Wisconsin? You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are you seeing in the real estate market where you live? Are there fewer for sale signs in the neighborhood these days? Have you been looking to buy or sell a home? How is it going? Any realtors out there, what are you seeing in your line of work in your part of the state? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Kurt Paulson is a professor of urban planning at UW-Madison. Kurt, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
All right, I'm seeing this phrase thrown around, housing recession. What would that mean? And part two, are we in one?
Well, just like the discussion of the macroeconomy, there are signs that show, yes, we are in a recession, but there is an equal number of data points that show that no, we are not. Right? So in the macroeconomy, we have two successive quarters of negative GDP growth, which is the standard definition of a recession. But unemployment keeps going down and wage growth keeps going up. So that does not look like a recession. So in the housing world, we had three reports recently that all say we're in a housing recession. So the National Association of Home Builders does this forward-looking inventory where they interview their members. And for the first time in years, that turned negative. The National Association of Realtors reports that home sales and home starts, meaning building permits and new construction, those are down. And then Goldman Sachs said we should expect that sales and new construction will also keep going down all the way through 2023. On the other hand, prices are still astronomically high. So even if the rate of growth might have slowed down a little bit in the last couple of months, we're still looking at a housing market that has a lack of inventory, a lack of supply, and high prices. So if you already own your home and don't want to move, things are fine. But if you're looking to move or you're looking to buy for the first time, things are still pretty expensive.
Want to get into some of the factors going on here. Interest rates, we know the Federal Reserve's interest rates, they've been bumping it up. Has that been translating into mortgage interest rates going up?
Yep, absolutely. So if people are interested in tracking mortgage interest rates, Freddie Mac has a great website. And you can see that from January until today, the average 30-year fixed rate mortgage, that's the traditional mortgage that most people have, went from 3.22% to 5.55%. So let's translate that to a person who wanted to buy the median priced house in Wisconsin. That's about a $280,000 house. That means that for the same mortgage, your mortgage payment per month is up over $300 just in the last 6 months. So what that means is for your average home buyer, their purchasing power goes a lot less far because for the same income, you can afford a lower amount of your mortgage because the interest rate is higher. Add that onto the increasing cost of housing, and it's what we call a double whammy. That's a technical term. Your dollar goes less far to buy something that's more expensive.
Okay, but go ahead.
And that's why we see home sales decline. And new home starts also decline significantly in the last 6 months relative to 2021, which was a banner year.
Now, last time I talked to you, you were talking about a five-alarm fire when it comes to housing, largely driven by a lot of demand for housing, not a lot of supply for housing. I mean, I don't think those two things have really changed. So wouldn't there be an incentive to still keep building new houses?
There absolutely is an incentive. So maybe we're down to only a four-alarm fire. But here's how it would work. So if you're a current homeowner like me and you're looking to downsize, maybe a condo or a townhouse once the kids leave so you don't have to shovel, you're looking around and instead of a $300,000 house to buy, that new house is going to cost you $400,000 because of the construction costs. So on the one hand, my purchasing power is down because interest rates are up. So I currently have a good mortgage at less than 3%. To buy a new house, any new home buyer or someone who wants to move, you have to get a new mortgage at the higher rate. So millions of people around the country who might otherwise buy homes are just staying put. And that might mean that there's fewer houses to turn over. So it's again important to say the cost of existing housing will go up when the cost of building new housing goes up. So the cost to build a new home in the last 2 years has gone up at least 37%. So again, instead of a $300,000 house, maybe you're talking about a $400,000 house. So that's just going to lower the number of houses that people can afford to buy. And what I said last time is still true. If we want to bring down the cost of housing, we have to build new housing. But we can't bring down the cost of housing by building new until we can bring down the cost of building new housing. And that's going to take at least 3 to 4 years, I'm guessing, even though we're starting to see some relaxation of the supply chain constraints. Lumber prices are still high. Developers and builders can't get appliances. And what compounds this is a labor shortage. You talk to anyone in construction, they just can't get enough skilled labor to build the houses.
Talking to Kurt Paulson, professor of urban planning at UW-Madison, talking about the housing market in Wisconsin and beyond. A lot going on here as we're hearing mortgage rates going up. Prices still staying pretty high, but maybe there's a housing recession where I'm building new houses. You can join in at 800-642-1234. We'll love to hear from people who build houses or would build houses if you could find people to build them and stuff to build them with. What are you seeing out there? If you are buying, selling, or making a very conscious decision to stay put, maybe until things settle down, love to hear your story. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Kurt, I know an ongoing concern of yours and something you research is the idea of workplace housing. If I want to work in this community and I want to live in or at least close to this community, can I find a place to live there? What are you seeing going on around Wisconsin now?
So as you point out, if you have a job opening, if you're an employer or a county economic development official, and you have jobs opening, but you have no housing or the housing that is available is extremely expensive, it's very hard to recruit workers to come to your area. I'm sure you've seen the news recently. Sheboygan County had 3,000 jobs open, and their housing vacancy rate is close to zero. So they, even if they could get people to move there, there's nowhere for them to live. And this just makes it harder to recruit and retain your workforce. And it also means that if people feel stuck, so they want to stay in their current house, then maybe they don't have the capacity to move one county over or move to another state for perhaps a better job opportunity. So it works both against employers being able to recruit, but also for job seekers to be able to move.
Is there a creative solution if I'm, you know, in planning in Sheboygan County or if I'm an employer in Sheboygan County? I'd sure like to bring those workers in and find them a place to live. And I don't want to wait 3 hours or 3 years, I'm sorry, for the price of lumber to come down. Is there something I could do in the short run?
Well, there's not a lot you can do in the short run, because even if you waved a magic wand and got zoning approval to build lots of housing and new single family homes, those would take 18 months to build. You can't get the labor. So the creative solutions are factory built housing or manufactured housing, which we can deliver. But even those are subject to production delays. So one of the interesting things Sheboygan County is doing is they're just deciding to get into the housing business themselves and build some units themselves. But again, it takes financing and it takes construction and it takes time.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. James is with us here in Wisconsin. James, hi.
Hello. Yeah, my opinion on this thing is, well, when you're paying, you know, for example, $15 an hour to work at McDonald's, what does that do to the cost of labor for skilled laborers? I know people right now that are roofing that won't get on top of a roof for under $40 an hour. And it's been quite ridiculous, some of the prices of labor, what people expect now. So these people with the skilled labor are looking for other work.
And James, do you work in construction trades yourself?
I've been in construction my entire life, and I thoroughly enjoy it. It just doesn't pay like it used to. You know, $20 an hour, $25 an hour, 10, 15 years ago, it used to be a good wage. And nowadays, it just isn't. You're just not going to get a labor force for that kind of money.
James, thanks a lot for sharing that firsthand example. Kurt, this is part of the labor costs you were talking about earlier.
Exactly. And as James knows, if you have to pay $40 for a roofer instead of $20, and you have to pay for your framers and your HVAC people, in addition, even if you could get the materials at the same price, a 20 or 30% increase in labor, that's going to drive up the cost of an average house $30,000 to $40,000. So here again, we think that high wages is generally good, particularly for workers. But if we want to deliver housing at a lower price point, then something has to give. Either the cost of materials has to go down, or the cost of land and infrastructure has to go down, or the cost of labor has to go down. And none of those are easy levers to maneuver in the short run to affect our housing prices.
Thanks for that call, James. We're talking to Kurt Paulson, professor of urban planning at UW-Madison, with us today to talk about what's going on in the housing market a lot and whether we're in a housing recession. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you work in development, realty, related fields, love to hear from you at 800-642-1234. If you're in the market to sell or buy a house or maybe putting that on hold for a while, tell us your story. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're talking about a housing recession, maybe, in the United States right now, and what's going on in the housing scene here in Wisconsin. Kurt Paulson with UW-Madison stays with us, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Kim is with us in near Madison. Kim, hi.
Hi. I'm calling because I'm a property manager in the Madison and surrounding areas. Last year, we built a 57-unit building, and now I'm just finishing up a construction of a 37-unit. And I tell you, the costs have more than tripled. You know, it's tough to, as a landlord and watching these owners, you know, afford it and then make affordable housing for our renters. And I also want to curtail that. I agree 100%. Trying to find a vendor, getting appliances, everything is just an incredible struggle right now. And I this is a good topic because it needs to be addressed.
Kim, thanks for that call, Kim. Kurt, a lot of times if you can't buy a house, you rent a house. Well, Kim says same factors are driving up the cost of rent too.
Exactly, right? And we have two forces also driving up rents. In the first instance, as Kim pointed out, to build new rental housing is also 35 to 40% more expensive just on the input costs. So either you don't build that housing because you can no longer make that project cash flow, or you have to raise the rents to cover the additional costs. And as you pointed out, there's a large number of potential home buyers who have stayed in the rental market because they can no longer afford an entry-level home or they can't save for the down payment. So they stay in rental markets, which puts pressure on rents. So nationwide, rents have grown more than 10% year over year in the last couple of months. And we would expect that you're going to have continued strong rent growth and rental demand because of the factors we talked about earlier. That means that for your lower wage workers or people at the lower end of the wage scale, you are seeing your rents go up 10 or 15%, which is a real problem for affordability because your income has not gone up 10 or 15%. We say that in a housing market, all of the bad stuff trickles down to the lower end of the wage scale. So renters who make less than $15 an hour are really stressed right now.
Thanks for the call, Kim. Cheryl joins us next in Rice Lake. Cheryl, hello.
Hello. So my mentioned about housing being available in the cities, you know, won't even bring a person in because there's no place to go. We have the same situation in Rice Lake. And what our situation, actually what I see locally, is our housing is getting snatched up by people who are using it for short-term rental or vacation property.
Cheryl, thanks for the call. You hear that in big cities sometimes, Kurt. I've heard it in places like Door County and other places that rely on tourism a lot. People can't afford to live there, they say, because the Airbnbs and VRBOs are owners are buying things up.
Right. Or we see investors buying housing to turn it into rental, for long-term rental. And again, in a really tight housing market, when you have institutional actors or Airbnbs or bulk purchasers, even 1% or 2% of the market, you can really constrain supply and availability. And so a first-time home buyer who might be using something like FHA or a Veterans Administration loan, you're going to be outcompeted by someone who's going to be an all-cash buyer without contingencies. So again, the long-run solution is to build more housing so that there's more competition with Airbnb and investor-owned single family. But in the short run, that's really putting a price pressure in our markets, as Cheryl pointed out.
Thanks for the call, Cheryl. Steber joins us now in Stevens Point. Hi.
Hi.
What
my comment is simply that a lot of people don't want 2,000, 3,000 square foot houses, but the builders only want to build big houses because they make more money. I had a little bitty job to do this summer, but it was too little. So I'm doing it myself.
Wow. Thanks for the call. Kurt, is this a problem we don't have? It's not just we don't have enough housing. We don't have like the size people want, say, like you were talking about earlier, if somebody wants to downsize after the kids go.
Yes, exactly. We don't build a lot of the smaller houses on smaller lots or the attached housing like a townhouse or a duplex, which would really meet that entry-level price point, that first-time homebuyer price point, or move-down housing for seniors. So again, if a senior moves out of a large single-family house into a condo or a townhouse, then they recycle that larger home for young families. But I want to disagree at least half of what she said, that I don't think it's the fact that builders only want to build large, expensive homes. I think it's also driven by zoning. If the zoning ordinance says you can only build a single family house on a large lot, like 10,000 square feet, then your land costs and your infrastructure costs are so high that the only way a developer can make a reasonable return is to build a large home with high-end finishings to pay for those land and infrastructure costs. So if cities were to allow a much larger supply of townhouses, small lot houses, maybe duplexes or houses closer together, I think you would see many developers who want to build at that affordable, smaller price point. But obviously what we've talked about earlier, you're still not going to build anything affordable, even if it's a small house on a small lot, as long as construction costs are as high as they are right now.
Thanks for that call. Kurt, one thing I've seen is some cities have tackled their zoning. I think Minneapolis is one, some on the West Coast, to try to allow more for, you know, the so-called mother-in-law suite or something like that. You know, a separate unit, maybe it's an attic unit or an outbuilding on a house. Do you see those making a difference in housing supply and maybe in the future bringing the cost down?
Yes, but that will take a long time, and that's a small portion of the market. So again, if you look at a city like Madison, which is making it easier to build those accessory dwelling units, that will relax some of the supply constraints just a little bit. But in a really tight market like we have in Madison, it's not going to have a whole lot of impact on price. But again, as you pointed out, we want to create not just different prices, but a different variety of housing to meet the needs of all different family sizes and age groups. And so anything we can do to relax the housing supply will help us over the long run to bring down the cost of housing. But nobody expects that the median price of a single family house is going to fall all that much, even if you drastically increase supply, just because we continue to have very strong demand for housing.
And just our last half a minute, Kurt, what is the biggest open question on your mind right now when it comes to housing?
Well, if I was really smart and could forecast where housing would go, I would invest one side or the other. I think house prices are going to stay high for the next 5 years. And it has this ratchet effect where until you can bring down the cost of new construction and significantly deliver lots of new housing, you're going to continue to have entry-level homeownership affordability challenges and a real stress on the rental market. And absent some major new federal policy, sorry to end on bad news, but I think things will get a little bit worse before they get better.
Kurt, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Kurt Paulson, professor of urban planning at UW-Madison. He was with us today to talk about housing in the United States, whether we're in a housing recession, and why that doesn't mean housing prices, he says, are likely to come down anytime soon.